Welcome to Real Talk About Real Estate, a weekly conversation about buying, building, listing, and financing real estate with your hosts, Joe Daniel and John Wallace.
When this all gets sorted out, I think you and me should get an apartment together.
Take it easy, champ. Why don't you stop talking for a while?
Brought to you by CMG Financial, NMLS number 1820. An equal housing lender.
I've been in this house before. I know the lady who owns it.
I liked her. She gave me a real good deal for the summer.
Questions can be sent to realtalk@wsjm.com. Now, here are John and Joe.
Welcome back to Real Talk About Real Estate. John Wallace, Joe Daniels in the studio. And, of course, folks buy homes in part based on school districts and the quality of education they get there and the opportunities their students have, as well as, of course, the neighborhood and what they're looking for. William Will Kearney is the superintendent for River Valley Schools in Three Oaks, Michigan. Grew up in Westchester, Illinois, suburb of Chicago, graduating from Proviso West High School. Northwestern University is not easy to get into, so congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Degree. Track scholarship?
Yep.
Shot put?
No, actually, I was a hurler.
Were you
then.
Really?
I was.
Bodes well when you're a school administrator just hurdling problems all day.
Doesn't look like that now. But
From 2004 to 2011, principal of Johannesburg Lewiston High School, which is about 10 miles east of Gaylord, Michigan. That's where I'm going to be the rest of the week. Gaylord.
Cool.
And served as assistant high school principal for Oscoda Area Schools for 2 years. I was there last month in Oscoda. Wife Debbie, two sons. During his last interview with the River Valley School Board, Kearney was asked what his priorities would be during his first 100 days as superintendent. He cited three: build relationships, improve student performance, and to promote River Valley. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Tell us a little bit about track and Northwestern.
Well, I was fortunate enough to do pretty well in high school and received an athletic scholarship to Northwestern. And honestly, I told the coach I wasn't sure I'd be able to get in, but they didn't pull punches.
But luckily, the first string hurdler broke both of their legs before the season started.
Yep, and received a track scholarship, and unfortunately, Northwestern no longer offers track.
Really?
Yeah, they got rid of that probably about 10 years after I graduated from there.
And you can be a great athlete. I know friends of ours whose daughter was their goalie for the girls' soccer team, and she's now playing professional soccer in Europe.
Okay.
After graduating, of course. But getting to Northwestern requires a little more when it comes to grades and test scores than just I'm a good athlete.
Right. Yeah. When I applied, he said that he would run the application through without, you know, having any influence, and was fortunate and received a degree in health and PE.
Yeah. And then did you do a master's out of Northern Michigan while you were up north working?
I received my master's from the University of New Orleans.
I taught
for about 4 years down for the New Orleans Public Schools. And then from there, came back and taught up in Sheboygan some time, and then wanted to move into administration. So received my specialist degree from Northern Michigan University.
So, you know, coming from outside of Chicago and going to Northwestern, how do you find living up in Sheboygan and Gaylord and Oscoda? Because, you know, that's even more rural than we are.
My wife grew up in Downriver, Detroit. So at one point we moved back and obtained a teaching position. And by coincidence, her brother was a police officer for Sheboygan, the city of Sheboygan. He told us about the opening in PE, and I applied and got hired there. And then from there, went to Oscoda. Oscoda was my first administrative assignment. And then 2 years later, moved over to Johannesburg Lewiston.
Yeah.
And honestly, when I came back from my final interview with Johannesburg, I was thinking that this district is way too small. Actually, they're bigger than River Valley. It was a district of about 800 kids, but accepted the job and am happy I did. I liked small districts.
Yeah. Well, and that's a unique, good experience for the work that you do and for the school district itself, having experience with smaller districts, because it's not the same as running, as we were talking off air, running a 2,000 high school student body in Grand Rapids, say.
Right. I graduated from Proviso West was a school of 4,000 kids. My graduating class was 995.
Mine was 120.
Yeah. I graduated from River Valley in 06. six, and I think there were 70-some at that point, which was great because all I could think about was just give me my diploma and I want to go home. And it only took like 2 hours. I can't imagine, you know, 995 kids. This is like a whole day event.
Well, you ran through the diplomas very quickly.
Just chuck them out into the audience, be like, yeah, find yours and grab it. We're done. So what was the attraction to River Valley then?
Well, you know, I liked the small school. And when I applied, I just liked the setup. You know, what I experienced at Johannesburg Lewiston is that it's small. You have to do, everybody has to wear a couple different hats. But the kids really don't fall through the cracks. You get to know every kid. And so that's kind of what attracted me to River Valley.
Yeah, I'll say, you know, some folks say, oh, River Valley's small class size and everything. I had a home buyer who moved from Valparaiso, Indiana to Three Oaks. And, you know, some folks were saying, oh, you know, they're going to be in River Valley schools. And they said, I know. That's great because you don't have obscene class sizes. You have that individualized attention that you may not get in larger districts.
Right, yeah. We're fortunate enough that we've been able to keep low class sizes. Past few years, we've even been adding advanced placement classes at the high school.
Wow. And that's new. They didn't have that one. Not that I would have made it into AP classes anyway, but that's new. That's cool. And then you guys have dual enrollment with Lake Michigan College as well, don't you?
Yep. We have dual enrollment opportunities. Most of them go through Lake Michigan College.
Some through Southwest Michigan as well?
Yep. We used to have an auto shop program that ran through Southwest Michigan College. That program's closed. But we also have direct credit. So we have College English is a direct credit course offered at River Valley.
Yeah, I did that when I was, I'm trying to remember how it worked. Not like 06 was that long ago, but...
it's 12 years, Joe. We aged.
Gosh, thanks for reminding me. It's a dozen years since I've been in high school, which I know, John, it's been like 10 times that for you, but it just seems like a long time to me, okay? But yeah, you would go to high school during the day and then you take your college class at night, and that was just some of the credit hours I'd have to do anyway already out of the way.
Right.
So I thought that was a unique opportunity.
Yep. Yep.
And I is the co-op program still offered as well?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I co-opted back in the day with Burger King. So I'd be, you know, it'd be lunchtime at school and say, peace out, I'm going to go make lunch for other people. But it was a good work experience. I thought it was neat.
Yeah, yeah.
Did that teach you? Maybe that could teach you a responsive work ethic, Joe.
It could. You know,
we need to work on that a little bit.
Here's the thing, and I'm going to go off on a small tangent, but the fast food workers making $15 an hour, I vehemently oppose because I think you have to flip some burgers and you have to work hard and be underpaid to do it to realize I don't want to do that anymore.
Or I don't want to do it for the rest of my life. It's a stepping stone to something else.
Right. I think, you know, love and logic parenting says let the consequences do the teaching. Bring on the fast food. My daughter, who is 9, her first job will not be a fun job. I don't know what it's going to be, but I'll make sure that she has a challenging job so she understands the importance of staying in school and, you know, making a living wage and doing all these things that, you know, I can tell her till I'm blue in the face, but she won't listen to. So
tell me, Will, about how large is the district these days? I mean, geographically, you are the largest district in the area. Student body size is?
Student body is about 585 students. Back when Galeen closed, district boundaries were split up between Buchanan and River Valley, so that actually increased our geographic size a little bit. But we run preschool through 12th grade. The middle high school houses 6th through 12th grades. And a few years ago, I think it was back in the starting with the 12-13 school year, we grade leveled the elementary buildings. So Chickaming was kindergarten through 2nd grade, and then Three Oaks was 3rd through 5th. Our preschool program was at Three Oaks, so we kept it there. It was part of the GSRP preschool program. And then last school year, we decided to run our own preschool program. We could have more of a say in how
it was being run.
We run the program. So it has a little bit more of an academic focus, which we're hoping will pay off for kindergarten readiness. And what we're doing this year is we're moving the preschool program over to Chickaming so we can have better collaboration between the
preschool and kindergarten.
Right.
Excellent. Yep. We're talking with Will Kearney, who is the superintendent of River Valley Schools, Joe Daniels, John Wallace. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Real Talk About Real Estate, brought to you by CMG Financial on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.
Hey, girl, you coming to the housewarming party next weekend?
Absolutely.
Wait, you guys bought a house?
I thought you said you were going to save up, and it was going to take a while.
It was, but then we found out about Home Fund Me from CMG Financial in St. Joe. We were able to raise our down payment a lot faster than we thought.
No way!
What was that called again?
Home Fund Me.
That's H-O-M-E, fundme.com. The website tells you everything you need to know.
So this Home Fund Me thing is from CMG Financial? What's CMG Financial?
They're a mortgage company. That's all they do. So they're really, really good at it. Their office is in downtown St. Joe.
Awesome. I'm going to check them out.
Copyright 2018 CMG Financial. All rights reserved. CMG Financial is a registered trade name of CMG Mortgage Incorporated. NMLS number 1820 in most, but not all states. CMG Mortgage Incorporated is an equal opportunity lender. To verify our list of state licenses, please visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
Tired of renting? Visit CMGFI.com or call 269-932-0577.
You're listening to Real Talk About Real Estate, brought to you by CMG Financial on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.
Welcome back to Real Talk About Real Estate. Joe Daniels, John Wallace with the superintendent of River Valley Schools in Three Oaks, Will Kearney. Will, tell me about some of the merger with, or the, if you want to call it collapse, you're not, I am, collapse of the Galeen School District a few years ago, increase in students. But what is the trending you're seeing for students in the geographic area that you guys cover?
Well, I think we've been stable as far as the enrollment. You know, school of choice, we offer school of choice. We have, we have many students over the years that have chosen to go from River Valley to Bridgman and New Buffalo. I think a lot of that centered around the failed bonds that took place before I got here. And I think we've stabilized. Occasionally, we have families that want to come back that used to attend New Buffalo just this past year.
You resist the urge to be like, we told you this would happen.
Just this past year, we've had some families calling into our high school office. They live in the River Valley District, but their students attended Bridgman, and there's an interest in coming back. So,
well, in part because while there is school of choice, though my understanding is some of the more northern county school districts have closed school of choice. They're not taking more applications at this point. But if I live in River Valley and I choose to, whether I choose to go to Buchanan or Bridgman or New Buffalo, that transportation becomes my responsibility as parent.
Right, exactly.
Because I don't live in district.
Right. There are some districts that do go into other districts to transport.
Yeah. Yeah, here and there. Well, and there is in part because of RESA. There is transportation among various districts because you may offer some programs that other people are not offering, and so students from other districts may come for part of the day just because of that.
Right. We have many of our students participate in the CTE opportunities that are available in other districts, and Berrien County doesn't have a tech center like some other counties do. So they're school-based programs and offered the culinary and the accounting. New Buffalo offers the building trades, and we have other Buchanan. Cannon offers programs. Lakeshore has some programs. And our students that participated used to have to make their own transportation arrangements. And what we're going to try to accomplish this year is to transport them.
Yeah.
And we think we have it worked out.
Time will tell when school starts.
Well, it's got to be, and I think you mentioned it previously off air, for the geographic size of your school, and transportation has to be the most expensive or one of the most expensive components of operating the school budget.
Yeah. The largest expense, of course, is staff, salaries and benefits, but transportation.
But they're not overpaid. I'm just going to go on the record and say right now that none of you are overpaid.
No, they're not overpaid. But we do transport throughout our district. At one time, we had elementary bus runs and middle high school bus runs, and they were on separate buses. And that what we wanted to try to do, we had a big time differential between when the middle high school started and when the elementary started. And in order to get staff collaboration, we had to bring that tighter. So what we did a few years ago is we had K-12 buses. And so the elementary students were on the same bus as the middle high school students, which is a common practice for many districts.
Districts, yeah.
And we did that for a few years. And then last year, our transportation supervisor wanted to try to have elementary buses and middle high school buses. And she pulled it off without increasing the
cost of the budget.
Or the cost of the budget.
Wow.
So now we have three elementary buses.
Maybe you don't want to say that because then some other district's going to come say, hey, are you, we want to hire
you.
Yeah,
how did you do that?
Now they may be following each other. Sometimes they may cross paths, but now we have elementary buses and
high school buses. Yep. You mentioned in the earlier that the middle school and the high school, those students are all together in one building. And to me, that some folks might go, oh gosh, that could cause you lots of issues because the difference between students in the 6 to 8 range and the 9 to 12 range, you know, just different attitudes, different hormones, lots of things going on for those age groups. But I can see how that would actually be beneficial to the middle school students because they get to see on a daily basis how high school operates.
Right. The sixth graders coming in operate somewhat on a different schedule. So they don't change classes as
they don't move room to room every hour.
Yeah. So there's a core group of sixth grade teachers that they work between. And there's a sixth grade hall. But for the most part, I agree. It's a good experience for the students. The the elementary students look up to the high school students, the high school athletes. We have opportunities where the high school band, the high school football players, volleyball players come down to the elementary to
mentor?
Work with the students and mentor. We have separate lunches. We have middle school lunches and high school lunches, and our food service director appreciates that because the guidelines are different, believe it or not, between middle school students.
And, is that guidelines from the feds or state or both?
From the feds, for the dietary guidelines. We run into a problem when some of our middle school students are taking advanced classes. So there, we might have 7th or 8th graders taking algebra, high school algebra. And so then they have to become part of the high school lunch at times. There's workarounds to that, but those are the great opportunities. You know, when you have a middle school students with high school students and they're ready for the high school courses, they can step into those high school courses and be successful without moving buildings.
Well, and like the college credit for high school classes that, as Joe said, I went to high school 100 years ago, so that was not available at all. But the advantage of middle school students being able to take high school classes because they're in the same building just preps them for, these days more than ever, see students who graduate high school with their associate's degree at the same time.
Right. Yep. Yep. The early middle college program that we collaborate with, we have students that when they graduate, it's a fifth-year program, but when they graduate, they'll have an associate's degree through the early middle college program.
Yeah. And if they haven't made it that far, at least maybe the first year, the freshman year of college is taken care of, and it's so much less expensive than when they're moving on to that next level. What kinds of changes are you seeing on the horizon that you're hearing about from the MEA and from the State Department of Education?
Well, there's always talk about changing the funding formula, we've heard that for years after Proposal A. We're what's considered not a formula district.
Mm-hmm.
So New Buffalo is an out of formula. I believe Bridgman is now out of formula. So what that means is that most of our funding comes from the non-homestead, the 18 mills non-homestead.
Right.
And when the state gives you the funding, they're assuming that you're collecting the full 18 mills. So the 18 mills that we collect from our non-homestead exceeds what we would receive from the state. So that provides a stable budget. A few years ago, the state reduced the funding mid-year.
And I remember that story.
Yeah, that doesn't pertain to us. A few years ago when the all the right-to-work
legislation
came out, it was, honestly, it was brutal to the teachers and the association. Beneficial for the districts, no question about it. But we've worked through that between the board and the teachers, and we have a great working relationship with the Teachers Association.
Excellent. We need to take another quick break. We're talking to Will Kearney, the superintendent for River Valley Schools in Three Oaks on Real Talk About Real Estate.
You're listening to Real Talk About Real Estate, brought to you by CMG Financial on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.
you're thinking about buying a new home, experience extraordinary at CMG Financial for your new mortgage. CMG Financial is a national mortgage leader and the only approved lender for Home Fund Me to help you crowdfund your down payment. For more information, visit HomeFundMe.com.
Whether you need a conventional, FHA, USDA, or VA loan,
CMG Financial has all of those options and more for home buyers and homeowners who need to refinance.
If you're thinking about buying a new home, experience extraordinary at CMG Financial for your new mortgage.
Striving to close in 21 days or less for every customer, every time. CMG Financial. 800 Port Street, downtown St. Joe. Your new home awaits with CMG Financial.
Copyright 2018, CMG Financial, always reserved. CMG Financial is a registered trademark of CMG Mortgage Incorporated, NMLS 1820 in most but not all states. CMG Mortgaging is an equal opportunity lender. To verify our list of state licenses, please visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
Come experience extraordinary in mortgage lending at CMG Financial today.
You're listening to Real Talk About Real Estate, brought to you by CMG Financial on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.
Welcome back to Real Talk About Real Estate. Joe Daniels, John Wallace in the studio with Will Kearney, the superintendent of River Valley Schools in Three Oaks. We were just talking about how a large percentage of homeowners in your geographic coverage for the district are really second homeowners.
Right.
Vacation properties from folks out of Illinois and northern Indiana, and I suppose sometimes even from Detroit, folks come over here to buy second homes. But and just recently in the news, there's been some mergers of school districts, not as districts, but in their athletic programs. You guys just lost two games off your football schedule.
Yep, we did. New Buffalo and Bridgman are joined together with football.
The South County, was it the Ramblers?
Well, I don't know what the current name is. I think they've changed quite a bit. And they indicate that their numbers are down.
Mm-hmm.
How that develops...
Well, New Buffalo is an even higher percentage of second homeowners as opposed to residents with their kids in the school district. And I think that for football, I think that ties back to all the news and about head injuries and concussions and those kind of things. And more kids playing soccer or doing other activities and just deciding not to play football anymore.
You know, the trend of high school football is going to eight-man football. And like I told our principal and our football coach, I played football in high school.
Yeah.
I've never coached football, but I like football. And to see it go to eight-man football is a different game. It's a speed game, honestly. And
kind of like arena football, almost.
Yeah. And a lot of districts are going to that. A lot of districts are dropping football because they don't have the numbers. And we've struggled over the years. And we hired a new football coach last year, and there's some light at the end of the tunnel. And they were successful against...
Who's the football coach?
Jason McDonald.
Okay.
Is now the football coach. And for the first time last year, we beat Bridgman, which was a great, exciting.
Go Stags! Go Stags!
Mustangs.
Well, Stangs. If you're from the school, you can call them Stangs.
Okay.
You know, that's...
So
but you couldn't. You're not inside enough. Mustangs to you, sir. Yeah. Mr.
Well, not that this is sports either, but there's a great baseball tradition down there as well.
Yep, we had great basketball with Jerry Schaefer and his players over the years and a great baseball tradition. Our softball team has been pretty successful over the past few seasons, so we're excited about that and hoping to see more wins out of our football team.
Now, John, this may be hard to believe looking at me, but I was never a real athletic kid. but I did
I thought
hear...
you'd have been a linebacker. You just would never make tackles.
Yeah, I'm just center. I'm just the, no offense to any centers that are listening, I'm just the fat kid in the middle. Yeah, that just clogs lanes. I was good at being in the way, so maybe that would have been good.
My son played center, so be careful.
But I was a band kid, and RV's, River Valley's band program back in the day was successful, and I'm just now seeing that this past year you got Division One or is it Division One marks? I forget how
Division
they...
Division One ratings.
So, and that's the highest you can go.
Yep. So at the state competition.
That's excellent.
Yeah, now you've been superintendent for about 7 years now for River Valley. First thing I want to ask you about is you had replaced the outgoing Bob Schroeder. Now, if people don't know Bob Schroeder, it's because you didn't go to River Valley. He was a mainstay in that district forever.
Right.
So how was that transition from Bob leaving and having been with the district and retiring finally, which I don't think people ever thought he was going to do, and then you coming in? How much of a transitional curve was there, or were you able able to put boots on the ground and get right to work.
No, I think the transition was very smooth. When I interviewed for the position, I gave them my 90-day plan and implemented the 90-day plan. And one of the things that is critical in any time you deal with people are relationships. The relationship between myself and our Board of Education is great. They expect a lot, which I appreciate.
They should.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. But they let us do our job. I think over the years, the relationship between the administrators and the staff, teachers, have improved. And the critical aspect is the relationship between the teachers and the students. The teachers that have the great relationships get a lot out of the students. So I think we've improved in that area as well.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to hit you with three probably more standard interview questions, but I moved out of River Valley School District when I graduated. I live in Stevensville now, and I've seen, you know, driving by, my parents still live down by the school, some of the improvements made. So I'm just really curious about all the cool stuff that's been happening. So my first question for you is, what are the three things that you're most proud of accomplishing in the 7 years you've already been superintendent?
Well, we were able to make some improvements to the facilities. I think in 2012, we applied for, it's called the QZAB bond. It's a non-voted bond through the federal government, Qualified Zone Academy bond. And we received a $2 million bond, and we were able to start making improvements to our buildings. At that time, we did new windows at the middle high school. We renovated the media center. We created a science lab. At Three Oaks, we made improvements to the HVAC system. And
I'm sure everybody appreciates that. Yeah. Just open the windows. It'll cool it down in here.
There's still no air conditioning there, but
most schools don't have air conditioning.
Right.
So.
But everybody wants it. And made improvements to the Chickaming School as well. And then we followed up with that and asked the voters for a sinking fund. And I don't believe there's ever been a sinking fund at River Valley. So they approved a half mil sinking fund. And I think what they appreciated is that we started taking care of our buildings. One of the first phone calls I received when I probably on my first day on the job is a community member called and asked if I was going to go for another bond. And I said no. I think the community spoke pretty loudly that they didn't want a central campus. So we started taking care of our buildings. Mm-hmm. The second thing, I think we've improved the relationships for everybody. I think there was somewhat of a disconnect between the district and the community. So we've worked hard improving that in that area as well. And our principals and teachers have stepped up and created some programs to improve student learning. The elementary building runs strategy groups. It's just a focused 20-30 minute period of time, a couple days a week, focused. All staff are on deck, so to speak. So the students move to groups that that their benchmark testing shows that they need improvement in, and they work on specific skills. One time it's reading, and the next time it would be math. Mm-hmm. Our middle high school implemented ICE sessions. Intervention, collaboration, and enhancement is what it stands for.
Yeah, it means different things in the national news.
So, yeah. And that's it was a 30-40 minute period of time for students to get extra help and actually for our staff to collaborate. On a rotating basis, the math department, for example, would collaborate one time and the English department would collaborate the next time.
Yeah, I will say, so I wear a few different hats other than the radio guy and the mortgage lending guy.
I'm the web design guy.
I'm the web design guy.
I'm the rock band.
Yeah, I'm in a rock band. But focusing on the web design part, one of the things I do, the company I work with, handles updates, website updates for the River Valley School District. And we handle a couple of different school districts. But one thing I will say I'll commend you guys for is we constantly have new content to post to your website. It's coming down from the administration or the individual folks in charge at the schools to say, hey, we want to get this message out. Look at all the cool things we're doing. You're recognizing individual efforts by students. You have field trips. You have all these accomplishments in your extracurriculars that you're promoting out there. So one thing that kind of struck me that you've said is you wanted to improve communication. And I think through the website, rivervalleyschools.org, without the mush mouth that time, I think it's been a tremendous tool. And you've clearly been working really hard at it.
Yeah, the other thing that we do is that we have a pretty active Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And And that started with a community member. Community member wanted to work with a group of students to establish a Facebook page. And then at a certain point, it was time for the administrators to take over. So all of our principals are administrators on the our Facebook page. And then we have a separate athletics
Facebook page. Sure.
Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The only thing I ask the principals is that don't jump after somebody just posts, because we want to give them some time to see right. that post. So they do a great job, and when one principal sees that another principal just posted something, they pause a little bit. But it's pretty active, and I think the community is getting a lot of updated information.
Well, I want to go back to something you said a few minutes ago, because most folks understand millages and bonds for schools, but you mentioned a sinking fund. What's a sinking fund?
The sinking fund is, our current sinking fund is a half mil, all properties. But what it allows us to do is to use those money specifically for building improvements. Can't buy buses now. The sinking fund that we had voted in allowed us for improvements. So it gave us an opportunity to improve the lighting and the flooring at Chickaming, and replace the gym floors at both Three Oaks and Chickaming. But you can't buy buses. At one time, you couldn't improve your security system, but the legislature now includes that in allowable sinking fund expenses. But because our sinking fund was voted in with specific items that it could be used
for. That's what you're limited to.
That's what we're limited to.
Sure. And you've talked about it. So you're a school of choice. If I have, my kids are too old, but if I had kids or grandkids and I was interested in finding more about how they get enrolled in River Valley, how do I go about that?
Well, school of choice application window runs in early June through July, but we place ads in the newspaper in school of choice, and then they would contact the buildings that they're interested in and apply through school of choice. We typically have limited numbers. As an out-of-formula district, we don't want to put ourselves in a position where we need to create another classroom.
Right.
So we try to keep our numbers within.
You have to manage the entire district and make sure there's a balance, because you all of a sudden can't be reaching out to hire three new teachers necessarily.
Right.
So, and it's still July, and there's, whether I'm interested in the middle high school or the elementary school or even preschool for that matter, then I can reach out to that individual school and find information on the website to find out if there are openings for that.
If there's still openings. Yep.
Every year, so here we go, web design guy, but every year at the appropriate enrollment time for School of Choice, River Valley does a great job of giving us material to put on the main page of their site to show how many School of Choice openings they have per grade level, and then also there's an application form, and it gives all the appropriate contact information for the individual school that that grade level would be, you know, fit into.
There you go. All right, we need to take another quick break. Will, you got to be ready, because Joe does the last segment, does a lightning round. You never know what he's going to ask.
All right, we'll try to be ready.
Will Kearney is the superintendent of River Valley Schools in Three Oaks with Joe Daniels and John Wallace. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Real Talk About Real Estate, brought to you by CMG Financial on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.
If you're thinking about buying a new home, experience extraordinary at CMG Financial for your new mortgage. CMG Financial is a national mortgage leader and the only approved lender for Home Fund Me to help you crowdfund your down payment. For more information, visit homefundme.com.
Whether you need a conventional, FHA, USDA, or VA loan,
CMG Financial has all of those options and more for home buyers and homeowners who need to refinance.
If you're thinking about buying a new home, experience extraordinary at CMG Financial for your new mortgage.
Striving to close in 21 days or less for every customer, every time. CMG Financial. 800 Port Street, downtown St. Joe. Your new home awaits with CMG Financial.
Copyright 2018, CMG Financial, always reserved. CMG Financial is a registered trademark of CMG Mortgage Incorporated, NMLS 1820 in most but not all states. CMG Mortgaging is an equal opportunity lender. To verify our list of state licenses, please visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org.
Come experience extraordinary in mortgage lending at CMG Financial today.
You're listening to Real Talk About Real Estate, brought to you by CMG Financial on News Talk 94.9 WSJM.
Welcome back to Real Talk About Real Estate. In the studio, Will Kearney is the superintendent for 7 years now of River Valley Schools in Three Oaks. Done a phenomenal job. They are a school of choice. And Joe, it's lightning round.
All right, Will, are you ready?
I guess.
I've never given a lightning round to a school administrator, so I may ask you something that you're not even allowed to answer. We'll just see what happens. What's the best senior prank you've ever seen pulled?
Oh, gosh, that would have been when I was a principal at Johannesburg-Lewiston. There were a couple. One of our graduating seniors placed an ad in the local newspaper that the building was for sale.
Do you get in trouble for that, or do you just admire the ingenuity?
It was actually what I think I did to that particular student. Some districts, when they pass out diplomas, have just blank covers, and then when they turn their stuff in, they get their diploma. Up at Johannesburg-Lewiston, the diploma was inserted into the cover, and when the students received their diploma, they would usually turn and face the crowd. We have a photographer to take a picture, and so on. Some of them actually opened up their diplomas.
Sure.
So what we decided to do is in front of that diploma is place a picture of the ad that student placed in there. So when he opened up his diploma, he kind of took a double take.
Yeah, did he turn pale?
No. And then the same school, different graduating class, they decided to decorate our bushes in front of the building with undergarments.
Oh my.
So that was interesting as well.
How do you call the groundskeeper for that one? Now, lightning round question number two. We talked about earlier in the show the three biggest successes that you've accomplished in 7 years, and you've got more to do, of course. What have been some of the biggest challenges, or this upcoming year, what's one of the big things that RV has to tackle?
One of the biggest challenges nowadays is just school security. The school buildings were not built to keep people out, and we've tried to do everything possible to maintain secure buildings, but something always comes up that we need to address. The back when Sandy Hook incident occurred, we were pretty quick and we're very supported by our community to create these video intercom systems. Mm-hmm. So all our doors are secured during the day, and we have a video intercom system. But they're still old buildings, and we don't have that secondary access that many of our neighboring districts have to allow them access.
And this is where you buzz in the first door, and then there's a
second door blocking the lobby area.
Right. Yeah.
And then they would get signed in. Whenever we have incidents where we go into a lockdown, we're as quick as we can try to get a instant message out. I think we use school messenger to the parents and just to notify them what's going on, and we try to update them. But that's the biggest issue that we're facing. While he's trying to improve our facilities, and we also try to improve student learning, the state assessments seem to change on an annual basis. So it's like hitting a moving target. But we really focus on the standards and let it occur.
I have a brother and sister. One teaches in Muskegon, one in the Forest Hills District, and they're both, I don't know, you call it embedded. They teach half the day in Spanish and half the day in English, both in elementary school. Is that something you see as a growing trend?
No. We have a small English language learner population, and we have one of our Spanish teacher actually serves as a learning coach in working with the staff at the elementary school. But it's a pretty small
percentage of the student population.
So lightning round question number three, I don't actually have one. I'm so nervous talking to a superintendent.
Then I'll take over.
All right. Make sure it's good, John. Don't let down the lightning round.
Nothing against other parts of Michigan, but how does your wife like Berrien County as opposed to Sheboygan and Gladwin?
Well,
Not Skoda.
She actually still lives there.
No, actually, we like this area. Our first winter in Sheboygan, we had about 125 inches of snow. And that was just one day.
She comes out of Detroit, so she's not definitely not used to that.
And actually, we had an ice storm up in Sheboygan when we were supposed to go back after Christmas break. So it was almost 3 weeks off. And then where we lived in Lewiston when we were at Johannesburg-Lewiston, and that's right in the snow belt. So it just comes right right across the state. And then we moved down here, and my first year was 11-12, and that was a pretty mild winter. And I was telling everybody, I can get used to this.
It varies. There's no such thing as global climate change anymore.
As a former student of River Valley, and this was before your time as superintendent, but I will say, for as large of a geographic footprint as River Valley has always had, and driving through open fields with blowing snow, I feel like you guys pretty much never canceled school. I don't know if that's true. Maybe when you're a student, it just feels that way. But I was like, man, there's...
Yeah, when you're a student, if there's an inch, you're like, that's it.
That's
shut it.
It
down.
Please, please. And I feel like, too, and maybe, again, it's been 12 years, which is a long time.
I went to high school in the 70s, yeah, so you can stop.
I feel like they never used to cancel school for wind chill either. I feel like they were like, you just bundle up and you stand out there until a bus finds you.
As we talked about in a previous show, I walked the 4 miles because there were no... If you lived in the village...
Uphill both ways, we know.
Well, no, it was only uphill two. It was downhill on the way home.
Right. Well, at least you're honest about it.
I think we had about 4 or 5 days of snow days this past winter. And I think our largest closing was around 7 days.
In a row?
Not in a row.
Oh,
just over the course of the winter. And at that time, we were over on the required hours, so we didn't have to make up any days of instruction.
The weather for Berrien County is so varied, you know, because you're in that area where you can, the snow belt all of a sudden is dropping down through River Valley into Buffalo, into LaPorte, and up here we've got sunshine.
Right. And that's happened. And the night before, whenever snow is coming, all the superintendents get an email group and communicate with each other, and that exactly has happened.
Yeah.
You know, I'm told that when the snow or when the storm comes across the lake, it will jump over us and hit Buchanan. Whereas if it comes up or down, north
the
Wajak,
Edwardsburg, Cassopolis get hammered. And sometimes it jumps over St. Joe Lakeshore, Benton Harbor, and drops into Coloma Water Valley, Hartford. Yeah. You just never know.
Right.
So to end the show, we can end one of two ways. I'll let you pick. Number one is you could sing the River Valley fight song, or for any prospective parents that are thinking about moving into the district, what is your elevator speech to those parents who aren't sure if they want their kids to go to River Valley? What would you say to them?
Well, I can't sing or dance, so.
But
that's a Genesis song, I think, with Phil Collins. I can't sing.
So I'll answer
your
second question. You know, I think where River Valley excels greatly is the relationships that our teachers have with our students. And our teachers work hard to establish those relationships and work closely with the parents. And I think that's the area that we excel in. We have old facilities, no question about it. We're updating our facilities. But, you know, when you walk into the buildings, they're in great shape.
Yeah.
Our staff has taken great care of the facilities. And, you know, the first thing that I'm a stickler with the appearance of facilities, because that's the first thing our community sees.
Well, it's curb appeal. We work in real estate. We understand that.
We do. You know, my wife's a landscaper, by the way.
Yeah, if it's not pretty on the outside, you're not even going to bother to see the inside. Yeah. Makes sense.
Well, I greatly appreciate your time. I think the number one thing for a school district is the quality and the relationship of the teachers. The stability and quality of the teachers is directly tied to the principals, the administration, and the stability of the superintendent. And 7 years is that's a nice length of term.
Yeah.
Not that you're looking to move.
Nope. I want to retire from this district whenever that comes.
2025.
And, you know, honestly, when there's a dysfunctional relationship between the board and the superintendent, that flows down.
We've seen that in the area.
And, you know, I appreciate the board, and I think the board appreciates the work of the administration, and I think that's the critical aspect. So,
well, keep up the great work.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Go Stangs! Can I say that?
You can say
Go Stangs. Say it again.
Stangs.
Go Stangs!